Well, everybody I know likes to eat. And some live to eat and some eat to live. Well, I guess we all have to do that. You got to eat if you want to survive. But what's interesting is some people actually eat for a living. And they eat a lot. It's called this competitive eating. And it's actually considered by some to be a sport. Well, every 4th of July, ESPN shows the National Hot Dog Eating Championship at Coney Island. Has anybody ever seen that? Yeah. Who wants to unsee that? I don't know. But anyway, the reigning champion for a long time has been a guy named Joey Chestnut. I guess he didn't get to compete in 2024 because he was sponsored by some other eating association not affiliated with Nathan's Hot Dogs. Maybe he went with Costco Dogs. I don't know. But anyway, 2 months ago, he competed against his main rival on a live stream Netflix event called Chestnut versus Kobayashi, Unfinished Beef. Well, you know, remember pay-per-view, how you could watch the big boxing fight or something? Now people subscribe to dog downing. That sounds kind of strange. I don't know. But anyway, I want to ask, you tell me afterwards if you watch that show. But nevertheless, Chestnut won by eating 83 hot dogs and buns, and Kobayashi only got 66 in 10 minutes. He set a new world record. That's something like 25,000 calories in 10 minutes. So anyway, I once pounded down 9 dogs in 10 minutes, but that's child's play compared to these guys. Anyway, it may be kind of gross. It kind of is, but it's a big business. And there's actually association. There's the National Eating Association, the International Federation of Eating. Don't tell me if you belong to those. Anyway, but you can win some significant prize money and get endorsed by products, probably like Tums, Pepto-Bismol, and Hefty barf bags or something. But anyway, that was a bad choice of words. But let's switch. It's our Thanksgiving potluck today. And and we eat well around here. And this is the big daddy of good cooking, I'll tell you. So, but hopefully there's not going to be any carrot chomping, chow down, countdown contests, or cranberry sauce cramming. But there may be some pumpkin pie pounding and some turkey takedowns. I don't know. But it's going to be a great meal and a super time to spend together. It's interesting, too, that on the day we have potluck, a special potluck, we also celebrate the Lord's Supper. And so we're going to talk more about eating and eating for Jesus' sake. Kind of cool, eh? Let me pray real quick. Lord, as we take a look at your word in the next few minutes, we want to thank you for the fact that we have enough food to eat. That's a huge, massive blessing that not all the world gets to do. And Lord, we get to do it in the freedom of being together in this beautiful church building with your people, and that's awesome. And so we say thank you. We're also grateful we have your word. It's written in a language we can understand. And Lord, help us to not only understand it, but then to live it out. Guide the next few minutes as we're together. In your name I pray, amen. Hopefully you remember that we are in a series called Bless, B-L-E-S-S. And the goal is to bless those in our world who need the greatest blessing in the universe, which is a relationship with God. And remember, bless is not just someone coughs or sneezes and you say, God bless you. It's really an original call to God's people. Remember when he called Abram? He said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. We're not just to take in God's blessing, but to be a dispenser of it. And of course, the greatest blessing is to know the creator of the universe who loves each person on this planet. Well, each letter in BLESS stands for something, and it's a different way of blessing the world. We started 2 weeks ago with B, which stands for begin in prayer. And the goal is at the beginning of each day that we say, okay, Lord, how do you want me to bless the world, and who would that happen to be? And I hope that you've made a list of 2 or 3 people that you can begin blessing for Jesus' sake. The next one is L, listen with care. Listen to the people around you at work or at school or in your neighborhood or on the phone. Find out what makes them tick and what's important to them. I hope you had an opportunity to listen to somebody this week. I had lots of opportunities to listen, and I really tried hard to listen while I was listening, if that makes sense. Well, today we're going to talk about eat with somebody, and then the next few weeks it'll be share or serve as well as then share your story. The idea comes from a book called Blessed by Dave Ferguson, and he had some great illustrations and ideas that I used in my sermon. But Jesus, when he was on earth, did a lot of amazing things. Oh, he raised the dead, he healed the sick, he touched lepers, he calmed storms, he cast out demons. But you know something else he did in order to reach people around in his sphere? Was he ate with them. Isn't that interesting? Jesus had a serious eating ministry. And I know some of you are like, sign me up. But nevertheless, if you look at it, it's fascinating. His first miracle was turning water into wine. Later, he ate grain as he was going through the fields with his disciples. He ate at Simon the Pharisee's house, at the house of a certain Pharisee, the house of the chief Pharisee. He honored Martha by eating her victuals. I'm sure after he created the five loaves and two fish, he ate some of them. He dined with Simon the leper. He had the Last Supper with his disciples. And he even had a breakfast by the beach with Peter, at which point he restored him to ministering usefulness. Well, another great story is written by Matthew about Matthew, which is really kind of cool. And it's written in Matthew 9. And listen as I read. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told them, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners, in quotes, came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus had left a place, had just healed a paralyzed man. He left his hometown. He's walking along, and he finds Matthew at work. Matthew was busy counting Rome's money, and he was counting his own money, which used to be other people's money. And no one would have liked this guy. And surprisingly, Jesus says, come, follow me. You know, this is going to turn Matthew's life upside down. But it had to be a strange thing for everyone who saw, because tax collectors, they were the deplorables of the day. And people probably told jokes about him. You know, hey, you want to hear a good news, bad news joke? You ever heard those? Well, yeah, okay. Well, the good news is a donkey cart load of tax collectors drove off the side of a cliff. Well, what's the bad news? There was one empty seat. You know, they would kind of tell those jokes all the time. Half of you don't get it. I'll explain it later. That's okay. But tax collectors, they worked for the hated occupiers. No one liked them. They would collect money for the Romans. The Romans would say, okay, this area, let's say zip code 97541, owes $25,000 to Rome. Who wants the contract? And all the tax collectors raise their hands and they say, okay, we'll give you $28,000. So what the tax collector then would go around and get a bunch of guys named Lucius or Brutus to break kneecaps and collect 50 grand. So then they would keep 22, send it on. And so as much as they collected over and above their contract amount, they got to keep. So no wonder no one liked them. Well, it's kind of shocked that who of all people Jesus calls to follow him but this guy. But it's also interesting, if anybody lost money in the deal, it was actually Matthew, because he left his old way of life to follow Jesus. But Jesus does not start out saying, okay, Matthew, you need to start tithing, or I'd like you to memorize the Psalms and 1 and 2 Samuel. No, what's the first thing Jesus do with this guy? He goes to his house to eat. Now, I'm sure there were several reasons for this. One, because Matthew probably had the best eats in town. He had the choice cuts of meat, and this was going to be great, and large portions, and most of us like that. But it's also true, though, that Matthew hung out with the least respectable local yokels. I mean, he was always with the no-good, dirty, rotten, scoundrel tax collectors and other so-called sinners. But keep in mind, sinners back at that time didn't just mean that some people are sinners. We have the sinners on this side and the non-sinners on this side. No, that's not what it meant. It meant the sinners were the ones that did not keep the Old Testament law. They didn't even try. And so what Jesus ended up doing is he was not hanging out with the church ladies. No, he would go and spend time with the sinners. And folks like that were the pimps, the prostitutes, the porn promoters, the drug pushers, and the like. Think bad, that was them. And this really had tongues wagging about the new rabbi. But here was the deal. To eat with someone was to communicate you accepted them, that you were one with them. You affirmed their value. In a sense, it was to say, hey, you're my people. So Jesus wasn't just going to consume some calories with some regular run-of-the-mill folks. No, he was hanging out with the bureaucrats and the bouncers and the babes and the baddies. And he was going to communicate to guys like Matthew that I want to do life with you. You are important to me. Meanwhile, the religious types who kept every single part of the law, they were scandalized. Now, I have to admit, I'm surprised that they were actually breathing the same oxygen as these other guys. They were near enough to see what's going on. And so they whisper too loud in Jesus' presence to the his disciples. They say, what is he doing eating with the likes of them? And I'm guessing Jesus took the tofu pork chop out of his mouth and he said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And Jesus is not saying, these people are so messed up, you guys are fine. No, he's really, he's communicating in a way, hopefully some of them, all of them understood, they all had a problem and needed him. And then he gave a quote, go and learn what this means, I desire not sacrifice. It turns out the Pharisees knew the Bible inside and out, backward and forward, they could quote you all the time. And they gave all the sacrifices. They went to the temple. They did all the religious rituals. But at the same time, they scorned the poor and oppressed, and they treated them like trash. So yeah, they did the they did the religious thing, but then they treated people terrible. And Jesus knew that they really weren't right with God at all. Well, after that, there was another food fight flare-up. And Jesus, this time in Luke 7, they have another interesting conversation. And Jesus says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here's a man, a drunken and a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. You're all thinking, I had coffee and water. That's all this morning. So anyway, with a little cream, but outside of that, But to be clear, Jesus is not a drunk and he's not a glutton, but he's eating and spending time with so many people that are that he's getting associated with it. They're like, oh, that's a participating pork out partier person. You know, that's the kind of thing they would blame him of. Well, guess what? Jesus in his humanity, God gave him a physical body. He had to eat, but he also chose to eat with people that he could relate to and communicate with them. In a sense, he chose to enter into the world of others so he could bless them. Well, I want to encourage you to do that as well. Eat with people for the glory of God. You know, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Well, this is really cool. In a way, this is what we're talking about with bless. Go and go beyond small talk and occasional conversation to do life with people. Maybe you're not I want to eat with someone. Maybe you're, let's play catch, let's shoot pool, let's go for a hike, let's go fishing. Let's pull weeds. I got plenty of opportunities out here. You know, come on down, bring your friends and neighbors. No, they won't come to that. But anyway, another example of Jesus eating was with Zacchaeus. And he wasn't just a tax collector. He was the chief. Then he would extort money from the tax collectors. He was even higher on Jericho's most hated list. Well, let me read what happened with him. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming his way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to the house of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Jesus may have seemingly just been on his way through, but he stopped. He interacted with someone, and this guy was changed. It was incredible. The seemingly worst sinner in town met the Savior, got saved, and then his life showed it by a change in his actions. You know, it doesn't specifically say he ate at his house. Jesus said, I'm going to your house. But that would have been part of the deal. If you were to show hospitality, it would provide food and drink. This week, I had an opportunity to connect with a couple of folks. I've been praying for them, the be part of our bless. I tried to listen to them in the past and did it again this week. And this week, I was eating. I had breakfast. I had coffee. Now, I want you to know these people are not my projects. They're my neighbors, and I care about them. And I want to interact, and I enjoy the time. And I do want to bless them. And, of course, Jesus is the best blessing. And it turned out it wasn't to share my story time. It was more listen. But I wanted to relate, communicate, and appreciate them. I hope eventually I will be able to serve and share. But we're just going to see where God takes it. You know, I would encourage you to connect with folks, to eat with folks. You know, maybe you don't think you have enough time to do so. I mean, I'm blessed with that's my job, to hang out with people, to listen to them, to talk. I get paid to eat, really. And then I get to turn in the receipt, so that's kind of cool. Hey, Mike, you know. But so that's not all bad, but you can do this too. Maybe not turn in the receipt, but track your time. I'm bad in the course of an evening. Think about all the Netflix binging, or news watching, or political ads you've been consuming. If you got rid of just a few of those, you might have the time to interact with somebody. You know, all of you have to cook for at least one person, so double the recipe. It doesn't take that much more time. You know, if you're really under the gun, have somebody over for the game, microwave popcorn, watch football, hang out with your friend, eat popcorn, you covered all three, that's cool. If you don't know what to say, we'll talk about the weather or fire season or your dog or their kid's dog, or you can think of something. You don't have to talk about God the whole time. When your friend comes over, you don't have to bust out the scripture and say, hey, what do you think about Leviticus 7:12? And they'll wonder what in the world a Leviticus is. But anyway, maybe you don't like to have people over at your house. Well, go out to eat. Maybe you can't cook. Well, have Uber come bring you something. If you don't have enough money, tell you what, whip up some Kraft mac and cheese out of a box with a cheap hot dog. Or, you know, slap a can of tuna on Wonder Bread. It really won't matter. Just the fact you invited them would be like, wow, this is weird, but kind of cool. And it'll work. But let me encourage you, do life with folks. Or get together with your Connect group. Have a fun evening. Eat together. Show folks that Christians aren't sort of normal people. We just happen to love Jesus, and we have the hope of heaven. Let me encourage you, pray for folks around you. Listen to them. Eat with them. Do experiences with them. Share your lives and your Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would help us to reach out and be a blessing. Others have blessed us in so many ways. We have been blessed by you. Help us not to keep it to ourselves, but to spread the good stuff around. And of course, you're the best thing ever. I pray that you'd give each one here courage. Bring to mind folks that they can interact with and reach with your good news in a natural, wonderful way. Lord, we are excited to see what you are going to do. Thank you for the food we'll get to enjoy downstairs. You are a wonderful, fantastic, beautiful, good God. In your name I pray, amen.